parsha. Mamash to be in the parsha. Ela told us Noach. Noach is tzaddik. Tomei b'nei reisav. So Rashi raises the question that told us you should refer to children usually. Why does it refer to, in this case, why does it get followed up by Noach is tzaddik? So Chazal say that toldosa ikur toldosa of shel tzaddikim is masim tovim. It's a very difficult phrase. Very difficult a comment that Chazal is saying. Ke'ilu, that the children of a tzaddik are less important than the ma'asim tovim of a tzaddik. It's hard to fathom. And it recently published Ha'oris of Shlomo Volvi, so he explains in the following way. This happens to be one of the very important approaches that Rav Volvi introduced or emphasized. He suggests that the pshat is that a tzaddik invests himself in his masim tovim in a similar fashion to the way he invests himself in his children. That I'm not sure how it's not easy to get into the words. Iker toldosav shel tzaddik masim tovim. I'm not sure how he fits into the words exactly, but he suggests, and I think this is a correct, if it's not the translation, it certainly is a correct association with what Chazal is saying, that all the activities of a tzaddik are fashioned in a similar way to the activities of raising children. Be'er advarim is that when a person is mechanech children, so there are hopefully a lot of light times, but the times that are not, the times that have some gravitas, the times that are well thought out, so a parent doesn't only think in terms of what he's providing for his child right now, he thinks in terms of what is the impact it's going to have on the child. When a parent thinks about the activities that he wants to introduce to his child or wants his child to have, so the parent very rarely thinks only in terms of the here and now. There are lighter times having fun, enjoying oneself, than you think of the here and now. Even then, one always thinks in terms of what's the impact going to be later, and certainly in the more serious decisions. So Rav Volvi says that one of the distinguishing features of tzidkus is to have that kind of focus on one's actions as well. He gives examples. One example he gives is an easy one to latch onto. He says a person gives tzedakah. So he says a person might say that he's too. He doesn't have the wherewithal to actually figure out whether this person really is needed or not. That's a mavacha. I'm giving tzedakah. The guy needs money. He says he needs money. Right, so I don't have the. I'm going to worry about does he really need? Doesn't he really need? So we won't need. It'll go to a person that doesn't need so much. He says, that's not taking the mitzvah tzedakah seriously. The person who takes the mitzvah tzedakah seriously, he wants to make sure, to the best of his ability, that he's doing tzedakah, that he's helping someone who really needs. He says, that's the difference between a tzaddik is worried about not only the activities, but where it's going. What's its impact going to be? What's it going to accomplish? So I'm doing a mitzvah. So I want to make sure my mitzvah will actually accomplish something. Not just make life easier for me, resolve my need to do a mitzvah. But it'll actually be have an important impact when it comes to learning. So a person should focus on where is the learning going? What am I going to remember? How am I going to make sure that I will remember? Comfortable with the level of depth that I do? I really understand what I'm saying. It was not just to be satisfied with the pu'ul itself, but toldos seyim. What is going to be the upshot, the outcome of these toldos? So he says that's what he thinks. That's the shot, and that is one of the ideas Chazal teaches. He gives a very And one of the examples he gives of this idea, one of the contrary examples, is this I was very taken by this example. He gives the example of Alfred Nobel. What's he most famous for? What's that? Dynamite. What's that? Nobel Prize. Okay. Those are the two issues. Those are the two issues. The story of Alfred Nobel is that when he mentions, I looked it up, but I wasn't aware of this. So he, as you know, he discovered the power of, he didn't discover the power of nitroglycerin, but he discovered how nitroglycerin could be used as a controlled explosive. Before him, I think the power as an explosive, but he had 340 patents. And apparently, again, my information is very much second or third hand, apparently, in his own thinking, he saw dynamite as having a very positive impact in terms of being able to make railroads and change the terrain in certain places for whom it's in a constructive way, and to bring down a building that's not worthy of maintaining itself, all in a controlled fashion. In his own lifetime, he became very, very wealthy. That's how the money for the Nobel Prize came, because he became very wealthy by supplying dynamite or the explosive capacity of dynamite to various armies that were at war. So Alfred Nobel, the story goes, had an epiphany later on in his life, but 10 years before he died, because what happened was that his brother died. He lost a brother, by the way, in one of the experiments. He lost a brother when an explosive went in a bad direction, and a younger brother died. But when he was an older man, so he had, I think that when one remaining older brother, or brother, and the brother died. But the person who wrote the obituary made a mistake, and he thought that Alfred Nobel died. So he published The Merchant of Death as passed away, and went on to describe Alfred Nobel and how his discovery has killed I don't know the numbers of people. So Alfred got to read his own obituary. So he read, he saw this guy's going to be remembered as The Merchant of Death. So then he decided he does not want to be remembered that way. So he willed, I think it was 94% of his wealth, he willed to the Nobel Peace Prize. And that is the 5 Nobel Prizes. And he was pretty successful. People think of it in terms of the 2 associations of Nobel. So Revolvi gives an example of a person who did not think out the extent of what his own creativity could happen. That's the reverse of a tzaddik. A tzaddik thinks in terms of, he's a tzaddik before he invests himself in anything. He thinks of it 100 times, what he's doing, what's going to happen to it, how it's going to evolve later on. He gives an example of setting up, he says, a person who is not as well thought out will begin a venture, get people together, and at some point he may lose entire control over his venture, because he involves other people, there'll be discussions, he'll have to come to a vote, he'll have to vote who's going to be in charge, and he may end up not being in charge. So he can invest himself very, very significantly, and without, and it could be that he wants to create a democratically run organization, and he's so sure that it's going to accomplish that he'll do that, because more often than not it will not accomplish what he wants to accomplish, because he didn't think out carefully enough how he's going to orchestrate the what he wants to accomplish. See, he says that's the he said Nobel is a classic example, historical example of a person who was blessed with tremendous creativity. And apparently in his mind, he was thinking in terms of positive. He was thinking in terms of making an important contribution. And he lived long enough to see that he created a source of great destruction, and that's how it was perceived, how it was seen. So that's the reverse. Tzadik, Iker told Hussein, Shol Tzadikim, Maisim Tovim, is that just as a person invests in his toldos to see what's going to become of them, that he thinks it through, and his investment is in sync with how it's going to yield, what it's going to yield afterward. Emes says this is a theme that the Nefesh HaChaim discusses in Shar Aleph, in the area of it spans. I think you give me a dollar. See, that's how he darshens the pasuk, "Hayotzer yachad libam, hameivin el kol maaseim." So Chaim Voloshin says the pasuk doesn't read right. How should it read? "Hayotzer yachad libam, hameivin es kol maaseim." Hayotzer yachad libam, hameivin. He understands everything which they do. That's not David Melchon saying. David Melchon said, "I may vin el kol maaseh." So Chaim Voloshin has two treatments of it. The first treatment is that the Rabbeinu Shlom sees where everything goes. He doesn't only see our maaseh; he sees where the maaseh is going, and that becomes part of the way Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. Same idea. Later on, two parakim later, it's a little bit different shot. Hamivin el kol maaseh, he looks at the thought that goes into a masa. But it's a different horror. Good. So let's look at, finish up this sugya. And when we finish up at the sugya, let's finish up how we're going to learn it in the Ma'adura Kama. What's our mahalach over here? We could spend easily another week or two on the sugya. We could discuss at great length Rabbi Akiva Eiger on Iboya Leila Dure. We could discuss at great length the comment of Rashi of Mazik. We could discuss the relationship between our sugya and Tuma Belua. But what we're going to do is, when we look at the sugya, what is the chiddush of the sugya? And focus in on understanding as best as we can what we can learn about that chiddush from the sugya. Otherwise, we're going to end up, again, if we try to follow up Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha on the Tosa over here, so we'd have to open up sugyas and sugyas of Gezel. It's not really our topic right now. This sugya is where the Gemara asks, the Gemara's kasha is that it's not be'idna. The me'idna the agve kanye mischayv nafshi lihavi adochel, and the answer to the kasha that it's Motzi la'adur yadei edchak, that's the sugya. So what's motzi la'adur yadei edchak? So as we've been pointing out on Tuesday and Wednesday, is that motzi la'adur yadei edchak means that the obligation to pay is because of anor, not because of gezel. And that obligation to pay is mamish be'idnei of the iser. That's the sugya. All right? Is that really the sugya? The mitzvah would say no. What would the mitzvah say? The last line in Tosfos. The last few lines in Tosfos. Lo tzricha. The mitzvah pirish. The very end of Lo tzricha. The mitzvah pirish. The mari afilu ba'oichlin deloy me'isei. The kevon de tochav le'vebeis abliu bolo v'nene miyad choshuv bo en ka'achas, af al pi she'ein ke'echad mamish. What's the mitzvah's pshat in the chiddush of the sugya? Al yidei adchak, motzi la'adu al yidei adchak. No? Good. Now there's a mitzvah saying, the mitzvah understands that the chiddush of the sugya is to redefine be'idna. Gemara says, it's not be'idna. Gemara says, tochav lechavera, you motzi la'adu al yidchak. Machleik is rishonim. What did we just say? The mitzvah said, we just said, close enough, good enough. All right. Another, and Rashi and the Ri say, no, not good enough. Has to be mamish, mamish b'idna. All right. Machleik is rishonim. How do we pshat in the sugya? Machleik is rishonim was pshat b'idna. Not ready to discuss it because Laman Aleph and Aleph, we're going to have Sugya B'idna. So when we learn Laman Aleph and Aleph, then we'll come back and reevaluate this Machloikis. Right now, what do we know? We know that Rashi and the Ri say Me'idna has to be Mamish B'idna, split second, Kifi Yechol Tisholodah, and according to Ritzvah, a little bit of tolerance. Right? So I have to understand that obviously they're not just saying Mitzvah didn't take it easy, guys. Chill out a little bit. Give him a few seconds. No. But obviously, the machloek is what's Pshat B'idna. Okay? So, Laman Aleph and Aleph will get us into the Sugya B'idna a little bit more. All right? But according to Rashi and the Ri, our Sugya is holding strong B'idna must be B'idna Mamish, and therefore the Chiyuv Tashlumin must be Mitam Hano. All right? So, what have we said so far? We said, obviously, that the Chiyuv, that there is this chiyuv of tashlumei anor, and we finished up yesterday by pointing out, what Avi pointed out, is that according to Tosfos, the chiyuv of tashlumei anor is part of the parish of Gezel, and according to Rashi, l'chayr it seems that it's davkin not part of the parish of Gezel. So that's what I want to focus in on today, and understanding that Nakuda as deep as we can, given this, we have to work within the Suya. So again, what we're pointing out is that the Suya could branch out into different places. We could discuss a little bit more about Tochav Lechaveri was the Teichel HaKoyin, not a Koyin. We could discuss the point yesterday, the Suya of one person steals, other person finishes up, and they both can of him. But again, that will take us very far afield, and we'd have to accumulate so many different sources that either we would end up not advancing in the parak at all, or we'd probably end up speculating a lot, not having enough of the makoris in hand. So that's what I'm going to focus on. What's our sugya? So again, according to Rashi, our sugya is chiddush of anor, and according to Mitzvah, it's a chiddush of be'idna. I want to focus on this distinction about anor and gezel. Go ahead, Daniel.
Just according to the Ritzvah, what's if he made a regular masada?
Say it again.
According to the Ritzvah, what's the difference between regular masada dura and masada dura
idea? Timing.
For him, I think
timing. No, it can't be. In other words, it's a question of whether it's how close it is. I believe so. But again, it's a little bit. So that's what we're going to have to discuss. I mean, just 1 second. Do you know if they have the. If they have the Birkas Shmuel, what would it be under? That wouldn't be. That's so important. What's that? Thing over here? Is it here? No. Didn't make it. It's alphabetical. Most of what we're going to discuss. So what Avi said yesterday, I said Daniil. I would assume that they are not arguing simply on arbitrary timings on a range. I assume that there is a deeper issue about Kumlim and Ravine. In terms of the requirement to sign, how of whether it requires, whether you're focusing in solely on the masa or on the on the person setting up the masa, but that's not for now. Okay, good. So as far as we got yesterday, Avi Zohar yesterday is really a Birka Shmuel in Bava Kama. You can look at later on, Simon Yud Dalet. Most of it will say now, and he discusses our sugya. So you can write that in your Yoman, Chav Ches Tishrei. Your Macham and Tevrika Shmuel. Pretty good. Good. Taisvis. All right? Let's again. Two toisvus. First toisvus. Pirish bakuntris amay chayev misa. Gekoshelari. Idloi motzi laduri amay chayev. What was the chreyach of the sugya to say that it's motzi laduri al yedei adchak? So Gemara says, because if the person who put it into my throat did it in such a way that it's impossible for me to cough it up, to return it, so why should he be chayiv misa? The chanonos. Onos rachmona patre. Right? Taisha says, v'kosh l'ri, d'loki kigon, instead of saying, motz yadra d'nchak, say mitzoynei. Mitzoynei meniach lo litchoiv. Tash levad echayiv misa. Afagav limos ladurei. I forget who said it yesterday. Because I think Avi said he's no longer an onus. Umom enami loy mechayiv. Kevon de loy motzi ladurei. Elo alanos geroinoi umeyav. So again. Umom enami loy mechayiv. So the Ri says he would not be chayiv to pay back either. Kevon de limos ladurei. Elo al hanos gronu meyav. He can only be chayiv on hanos. In other words, if we cannot be mechayiv him as being a gazlan, because he's not a gazlan. He was forced into being a gazlan. But we can be mechayiv him on hanos gronu meyav. Yishayta kom levin rabba minei. According to Rashi, is he chayev tashlumen in the situation of leimotzi ladure? Rashi says, I'm chayev misa. Should we be medayik in Rashi? Why Rashi didn't say, am I chayev misa umavain? Ha'onasu. Go ahead.
It said in the Shita later on that the Ritzba would hold that he means
mamon
also, but he just didn't say it
because
it's
David. That's the question.
I think it's Machlokes.
So it's certainly reasonable to suggest that Rashi specifically left out mamon, right? Amay chayev misa onasu. No, what about gezel? Would onus not patur from gezel? No, what did you say?
Well, this also depends on what Rashi holds with mamon for onus. But if you think Rashi holds that you still pay mamon during a case of onus, then you would say that he left it out. If it's still pimmon, then he left it out on purpose. And if he doesn't say mamon the onus,
so assuming that that Rashi was medayik, he said misa.
Yeah, so you would say then that Rashi holds that...
Rashi knows that he could become chayiv.
Even when it's a case of onus.
In a case of onus. Asayi tochen. Go ahead.
Rashi says that Zela and onus are different. And Hana are different.
So he wouldn't be chayiv mitam gezel. But he could still be chayiv mitam Hana. Right? So Rashi, another indication that Rashi distinguishes very clearly between the Chiyuv Tashlumei Hanoah and the Chiyuv Tashlumei Gezel. Example we gave yesterday. Yarmil L'Soyach Sonach Hameirei. So I'm getting Hanoah Bal Korchi. The guy, again, the example I gave may not be an accurate example, because there it could be an imposed contract. But the fact is that I can become chayiv to pay for something. I can be forced in to pay. I can be forced in a situation where you can take me to Beis Din, and Beis Din will be motzi mamon from me. Go ahead.
Why is there any more reason to be chayiv for
Right, but so the point is that the answer to your question is that when it comes to Hanoah, so the Machayev of, obviously, based on your question, I'm flipping it around, the fact that Rashi says that I can become Chayev to pay for Hanoah Bal Korchi, which we said, yes, it's not a chiddush necessarily. Shows that the obligation to pay is my benefit. What does it matter whether the benefit is imposed upon me? If the obligation to pay is a contractual obligation, all right, so then I didn't buy into the contract. If the obligation is because I... What's the right word? I violated your property. I was forced into it. Shoved it down my throat. I didn't violate your property. So then you're kasha good kasha. I didn't do it. It was forced on me. Elamai, if I can be forced into paying for something, paying for a benefit, it means the Torah is saying that if I get benefit, I'm chayiv to pay. So the Rebbeinu Ber asked Reb Chaim this kasha. That's in this Birkas Shmuel, Simon, hold on, Simon Yud Dalet. Baruch Hashem. Eich Shayach. She Yiftarm. Here. Hidei She'alti Mikvar Espi Mavi Rabbi. Zuchusa Yogan Olein. Usually, when Baruch Hashem quotes from Chaim, it's the line, usually. Also, here's the lechayra tvias mashenu kitvias toiv malva the toiv and mamoni gabach. So he says, I asked him, din mashenu enoi din mazik. When I give somebody benefit, I'm not a mazik. She toiv et hashlumi achefetz. I'm being toveya the hanoah itself. If that's the case, so when it's forced upon me, why should I have to pay for it? V'heishivli, the tviyas ma shehenhenu, havi gamkein milva ksuva v'toira. That was Chaim's answer. The obligation to pay for benefit, milva ksuva v'toira. No, but Baruch Hashem, I figure what the Rebbe say now. That was the line. His barti liatzmi devar makdoshim. So I worked on it. That's Reb Chaim. And he quotes, he looked by Mishlam Melech, trying to figure out, nishtamesh ha'echad b'momin shel chaveroi sheloi midaita v'oivin sheloi nase gazlan. If I use something of yours in a way that I'm not a ganav, so then I'm still obligated to pay for it. Was it based for the payment? So Reb Baruch Ber understood, Reb Chaim is saying that this is the essential obligation of paying back a loan. All right? I have to reorient our minds right now. All right? You and I think, why do I have to pay back a loan? You lend me $100. What is my obligation to pay back? So what am I doing then? I'm returning what? I'm returning what belongs to you, that you're saying. Is it true when it comes to halvah? Comes halvah, you give me the money, spend the money. So where is it? If you lend me a sefer, your sefer, money gabach. You lend me money. What's that? So when you say I have something of yours, I don't. And that was the deal. The deal was take the money, buy whatever you want with it. So I have to pay back. No? I have to pay back, right? So is it that if I don't pay back, I'm a ganav? What's the basis for having to pay you back? No? So what obviously comes to mind? What do you think? Same problem. That money's gone.
You said you would.
You say you're saying contract, right? Contract. That was the deal. All right. Gemara says not so. The Gemara says that milva. Gemara in Ksuvos. Later on in Ksuvos. The Gemara says priyas bal choiv mitzvah. Because Baruch Hu, they have to pay back. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is if I lend a cotton. Money, right? Not such a smart thing to do. It's a precocious cotton. It wasn't so much money, right? Maybe he's already told him in half. I lend him a cotton money. Is he mechuyev to pay me back? So the Gemara says, if it's an issue of some kind of deal that we made, then he wouldn't have to pay me back. He can't make a deal, and he never has to pay me back. But if Priyas Bal Chayiv is mitzvah, then he's potter till he becomes bar mitzvah. And then he's chayiv to pay me back. So Gemara says his obligation to pay me back is because the Rebbe Shmuel said to pay me back. Milvak Suva B'Torah. In other words, the way the Torah looks at halva, say again, in our minds, we don't fully buy into this because in our minds, we think of lending money in order to be part of a deal. We think of lending money to finance something. But, and Sarachi, and how that fits with it, the Torah's context of lending money, is the guy needs money. There's a mitzvah to lend money. In the Torah's, in the context of the Torah, again, I'm not saying that when you lend money for business reasons, it has different halachas. Sarachi, right? But you have to remember, in the context of Chumash, in the context of loans, loans are a form of tzedakah. Loans are a bechavadik way to get tzedakah. That's the parshas of Parshas Rei. A guy needs money. He, Baruch Hashem, has enough pride and self-esteem that he doesn't want to take a handout. So he wants to borrow the money. In the Torah's construct, and again, this is the Torah's context. There is a person, the idea of having a person having a cushion is came out not there. The idea of putting money away. The Torah's construct, to have extra money. No, Sashin and Yerushalayim. Ve'isharim, Gula. Most people, they have extra money that they put into a gemach and it gets lent up other people. And there's specific deals about when the money goes back. They live like that. That was the... So in the Torah's context, and again, now is not the time to discuss how to translate into a business, Alpidin, it's the same thing. But in the Torah's context, Halva is, because Baruch Hu said, you have extra money, help another guy. So, Maiser, whatever you give Tzedakah, there are different forms of Tzedakah. One is giving a guy lunch, one's giving a guy money, one's giving a guy Echen Zaktaboy, giving him a business story, one is giving him a loan, so he can get a Bederach Kovet. Good. What's the machayim of that person to give it back? So Gemara says, Sofek, why is it machlekes? Contract, that's the deal. That's all part of halva. Give the person the sense of self-esteem that you really trust and you're going to give the money back. Or mitzvah, because Baruch Hu said, the different ways of giving tzedakah. One way of giving tzedakah is give it out of your mind. The other way is giving it and you plan to get it back. All right? Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but there are very specific rules about getting the money back. Right? One rule is that if you take a mashkin, you have to give the mashkin back to him day and night. Whole parsha chumash. Right? One rule is stam alva shleishim yom. You can't even ask for it back for the first 30 days. One rule is comes shmita, forget about it. It's also to ask for it back. And one rule is that the lova is chayv to pay back. So Reb Chaim said, according to Reb Baruch Ber, Reb Chaim said, what's the obligation to pay back? It's my mitzvah tzedakah to give him the money. His obligation to pay back is because he got hanah from me. He's not paying back the bills that I gave him. I gave him hanah. I gave him something. And all he has left from what I gave him is the hanah that he got. He's obligated to pay me for that hanah. Right? He used something of mine. Shtamshus. Good. Coming back to our question. Our question was, we see a machlokes between Rashi and the Ri. Whether we apply onus rachmona patre to hana. Right? You call him machlokes in the mitzvah and Rashi. Do we apply onus rachmona patre to hana? So Rashi says, we don't apply it to Ano. The Ri seems to say we would apply it to Ano. So therefore, he has a kasha. Why not change, right? Hezra Dover. No? What's Hezra Dover? So I said yesterday, Rechashmul. If you understand that my obligation to pay back for Ano is because the alternative is that I'm a Ganef, right? If the obligation to pay back Hanah comes from the parsha of Gezel, so if I'm going to Bar Kochim, I have to pay back. But if the parsha of paying for Hanah is that I'm obligated to pay for a benefit, comes to Halva. Halva was absolutely mutter. I didn't take a cent without permission. He gave it to me. I'm a ton of Gemurah. But I got it 100% legally. It's not Geneva. The Torah still says that unless we negotiate otherwise, right, unless I invite you to be my guest and I give it, and they say, please, take it, it's yours. So if you give me Hanah, I should compensate you for the Hanah. It's Machayev. Milvak Suva Torah. Right? So, onus is not a p'tur. The benefit is machayev. The fact that the benefit was, but I still benefited from it. It's a form of mamoni gabach. It's a form of mamoni gabach. Right? It's a form of, but you have something of it. Right during Tosfos. So again, so the first point we made today, as we pointed out, that we can be medayik a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, but whether we would say onus rachmona pat legabe hanah. Next, the Tosfos leaves it b'nira l'ri tochi perushoi amai chayiv momin varihu loy gozloi vanosloi loy mechayiv tafal gavda amrinon gozal v'loy nisya yishua ba'ilim u bo'acher ba'ochloi Right, this is the line that Avi was redaig yesterday. That you see from this line that Tosus understands the mechayev of Hana. Again, less man de polig. If we were giving a shiran Hana, so less man de polig than Hana is that I'm chayev to pay for Hana. Sugya zeh ned lechoser. I'm chayev to pay for Hana. Good. So now we can discuss what situation, what context. So now we're pointing out our sugya advances our understanding of this mechayev of paying for somebody else's benefit. All right? Yeah, we gave examples of where it's very, very real that I'm mechayev to pay for Ano. Yerel Seif Sadech Aveiro, which again might be a different part. Well, Baruch Hu discusses it. Could be different. But Stam. It comes up, I had a shalom not so long ago, that Reuven sold the house to Shimon, and Reuven had hired, Reuven wasn't, decided to sell the house. It was not a decision that was planned for a long period of time, so he had already hired a lawyer to reduce the tax basis for the house. Then he sold the house, and the lawyer was successful in getting the tax rate lowered. The seller never benefited from the contract that he made with the lawyer. All right? The buyer benefited from it. When the buyer bought the house, he was aware that the lawyer had been hired, but he bought it assuming that the tax rate is the higher tax rate. So when the lawyer reported success, the lawyer obviously billed the seller. That's who hired him, right? And the seller the seller informed the buyer several months after the sale that because of my efforts, and because I'm going to be paying, the seller's going to have to pay a portion of the savings of the tax. That's how it works. So it means the seller is now paying a portion of the savings that the buyer's going to have. To pay the lawyer, right? So the question is, so the buyer asks, is he mechuyev to pay? Is he mechuyev to pay that fee? Because he's the total nana from it. An American law, it's not a kash of a klal, right? An American law, you made a kind of a lawyer, you have to pay the lawyer. It so happens the saving goes to a third party. All right. But halacha, the question is that there's no question in halacha that the seller has an obligation to pay the lawyer. He made a deal with him. That's a contract. Right? Question is whether there's an obligation on the buyer to relieve some of that payment. Because the buyer received hana from the lawyer or the seller. So is it a windfall? Or is it hana that he should pay for? So hana sometimes is machayev. So this question comes up not infrequently. Hana being a machayev in of itself. So the Gemara says, so we're, through our sugya, we're being mamik into this mechayev of Hano. So we see that there's a machlekes Rashi Ri, whether Hano Mal Korchoi is a rechiyuv moment. So Rashi says no, and Rashi says yes, and the Ri says no. Let's not be medayik in the language of the Ri. He says, why is this not the same as gozal v'loy nesayishu avaylem uboacher v'ochloy rotsa mizeh goyve to mizeh goyve? Right? I can collect Reuven stole, Shimon ate. I now halacha allows me to go to the ganav or to go to the nene. Tosva says the nene is also a ganav. He took it for you. It was never menorah because of it. So Tosva says, why do we say that there rotsa mizeh goy rotsa mizeh goyve? And in our case, according to the Ri, when they motzi la dure, and it was bal korchoi, so I can no longer go to the nene. Le'ef shel adure, ein lo yal asheni klum. Why is that? He says for a side reason. Why is it I can't go to the nene? Why is it I cannot go to the nene bal korchoi? So the Ri says, why is it? It's not like ubacha v'yochloi. Not because it was Bal Korchai. Even if it wasn't Bal Korchai. Even if it was a situation where he ate it in the bed of the guy to put it in his mouth. He's still Potter. Why is he Potter? What did he say? Because it was Ovod Mina Oilam. L'chayra, Ha'orah number two. It seems that Rashi is not distinguishing between Birtsoin and Shalai Birtsoinai. Right? So it seems that Rashi would say, even if it's Birtsoinai, he would still, the Nene would still be Chayev to pay. No, sorry, even if Shaloi Ritzainai, right? That's what we're saying. Oinus is not Patre. And the Ri says that if it's Shaloi Ritzainai, it should be Potter. If it's Ritzainai, it should be Chayev. Why? So what's the Lashon? I'm Chayev as long as it's Ba'olam. In our particular case, the Anor comes from something that's no longer Ba'olam. Kvar Ovim in Oilam. Shemamokim Le'ev Shaladurei. So the Ri says, "Ein lo yal asheni klum." Let's go to what's the nusach? Ein lo yal asheni klum. What's the Ri explaining? Why am I potter? Ri says, "Hano is a form of gezel." All right. Now we will ask the Ri a little bit more deeply. What's pshat? It's a form of gezel. So I explained yesterday. But this is the lashon of the way that I believe the way that Reb Chaim explains it. Like the Nusach said yesterday, part of the parsha of Gezel is that I am using your object. I have your Gemara. Now I have to give it back. I have to give it back, right? So when I have your Gemara illegally, so the Torah is pointing out to me, I'm not only that I have an extra asset. Not that I'm a wealthier guy now, because when I list my assets, so I have to list anoyz v'hoder ksuvas. So now I'm a wealthier person. That's my geneva. my geneva is that I'm holding on to something that belongs to you. And my geneva is that I'm violating your property. My geneva is also that I'm benefiting from that violation. I had the ability to mishtamish in the Gemara. So since that's part of the parsha of Gezel, again, how do we come to this? Hey yois, that the Ri says that Hano, the source of Hano, is part of the parsha of Gezel, and we don't see it. Where do you see it? Being Mahana is part of the parsha of Gezel. Gezel is walking into Yerushalayim and takes something out. So it must be that the Ri understood that part of the parsha of Gezel, part of the machayim of the Hezus Esher Gozal, or part of my obligation of making you whole is that I'm, when I am being nene from your property, so that's a further violation of your property. I'm using your, and you're not using it. Moshel Modamer, just to make it more, less halachic and more emotional, right? When a guy comes into, you know, if he, I don't know if you've, hopefully you haven't heard this, but have you ever heard of a person who comes back to their house and the house has been burglared? So there are two things that go on in their mind. One is it could be a loss of property. All right, do they have a good insurance policy? They'll get it back. All right, sometimes the loss is sentimental. All right, loss of property. But if you've ever spoken to somebody who's been burglared, they feel that they've been violated. They come to their house, and all their drawers are having gone through, and their things are in the closet. So the point that we're making is that the Torah understood that Pshat and Geneva, so part of Geneva is that I've taken something which belongs to you, but I've also violated your property. I've trespassed your property. So what we're pointing out right now is Hayois that Toisva says that the halacha of Hanah comes from the halacha of the parsha of Gezel. So the way we can understand it is that when I am benefiting from your property without your permission, that's a further violation, a further trespass. And that has to be, I have to compensate for that. So that's what Tosfos says, but it's Gezel. So I end up benefiting Baal Korach, that's not Gezel. And that's what we pointed out yesterday, that these two ideas go back to the way we began. That according to, there's a machlekes Rashi Tosfos, Rabbi Chanan and the Tzoyis point this out. Can there be passive Gezel? So the Achronim point out that Rashi holds there cannot be passive Gezel. And Tosfos holds there can be passive Gezel. So L'chayra, it's based on the same idea. According to Rashi, Gezel is the active violation, the active Haitzah from Yerushua, so we discussed on Tuesday. So Memeila, Hanah is a separate parsha. But according to Tosfos, the Iser of Gezel can be done passively as well. I can violate your property passively also. It can be even Balkorchi. Sorry. It can be Balkorchi, but it can be without a Maisa. So therefore, it's reasonable to say that by benefiting from your property, that is a further act of Gezel. Because Gezel doesn't require, according to Tosfos, to be a Maisa Yitzor Mishuscha. But according to Rashi, it's different worlds. Benefit and Gezel, two different ideas. All right? Weiter in Tosfos. So Tosfos is the Lashon. Ein lo al hasheni klum. What do you see from that Lashon? Ein lo al hasheni klum. He has nothing on it. Sounds very contemporary. What does Tosfos mean? What does he add by saying that? Why didn't Tosfos just say, Kvar hoyo ovid min oilam? By the way, this what I quoted from Chaim is saying, Milok Tzuv Metaira. So Yisrael showed me the Ktzois. Yesterday Yisrael said that Shein B'Shusser Rabim is also an example of being Nene. So I took issue with him. So he showed me the Ktzoi spells it out. The Ktzoi says it was, remember, it wasn't Sheen Sadi, or Sheen Peites maybe. But the Ktzoi says that the Mechayev of paying back Shein Meshus Harabim is not Hezek, as I was suggesting yesterday, not Hezek. And then he says it's Dome, it's like Halva. So L'chara, the Ktzois is saying this Zavar to Reb Chaim. L'chara, Reb Chaim was pointing out this Ktzois in his one-liner to Reb Baruch Ber. He was probably saying, Reb Baruch Ber, you don't remember the Ktzois. So now, our Ktzois says, Kvar hu'oya, kvar hu'ovad min ha'oilam, it's no longer there. Shubim mokum d'le'ev shel adur, he can no longer give it back. Rashi has said the same thing. D'inami ahad v'imimosa l'chazi l'vaylam. Tosfos adds, "Ein lo yalasheni klum." Then he has nothing. What does that mean? There's nothing that what? Ein l'sheni klum.
No
chi of moment. That's what he, that if he would simply say, like Rashi says, lo yechazi l'bailim. It's not worthy of anything. It's not roi for anything. All right, not roi. It's not shavu prut. It's nothing. V'yevshal adurei ein le'al hasheni klum. No? No, he's nothing on him. There's no tviya. Right? Right, we'll come back to this. V'tzvom mefarish kishitas Rashi, v'pshita le'al hashas, t'ari kishitam lo'i bal korchoi, t'kishitachiv lo'i mertzoynoi, miyad kishimaisin b'fiv le'ad me'ikona. All right? The balance of this Tosfos is to establish the idea that you can do a gezel via a maisa kinyan. Kinyan alone can create gezel. All right? Next. And that's consistent with Tosef Shita, that I do not necessarily need a maisa to do gezel. But if something, but a kinyan alone, an inappropriate kinyan. Hold on. Next Tosfos. And then Tosfos goes on to distinguish between the situation where you're holding on to the, what's it called? The stick. The what? Yeah. In English, what's it called? The skewer, right? You're holding on to the skewer. And you get the food right down. So Tosfos distinguishes, and don't get that confused with Gitin. Gitin is a separate din of Maisa Krisis. Next Tosfos. Lo tzricha. Lo tzricha de motzi la'adur de tchak. V'hashta leka le'meymar de nahadra. And now we can't say, give it back. And by not giving it back, you're going to be machayv yourself a chiyuv moment. The ein marvichin bailim machach. Because the bailim don't gain by getting it back. The kvar nimasu. Hilchoch leku chiyuv moment. Therefore, there's no chiyuv moment. Elam al yedeya noas meyav. V'oz bon ki echot. The afal gav shechaveri gozla, hoyil v'yochol achzira, since he could give it back, that's the point we made in the Rashi, havi kimoi shehi be'en, v'harihu boila, v'neneba. Why is Tosfos going around and around? Because he could give it back. So, by not giving it back, he is chayiv. Why does Tosfos say, since he could give it back, so therefore it's really Ben? No? And then Tosfos says, I said it's Ben, I'm going to get in trouble with a sugya of Tumah Blua. That Tumah Blua is not Ben. Is it Ben? Not Ben. All right. So I have to be machalik between Tumah Blua and Gezel not being Ben. So he's going to have to say that because he could remove it, it's considered ben, right? Kinnarminon, as we say in the sugya of Zeh Nene, Mizeh Loi Choser. No, what's explaining? What's bothering Tosfos? In the end, he says, "Oh, this is going to work out because it's like the sugya of Nene and Bava Kama." All right, good. Next kasha will be, what about Rashi? Does Rashi require Shavu Pruta? Right? At the end of the sugya. Hold on for a moment. What's Rashi's, what are Tosfos' acrobatics over here? What's going round and round? No? Glenn?
According to Tosfos, he's saying that you need a chisaro. So the way we're explaining Tosfos, that the Hanah is just paying back for this, whatever it is, violation or tviya or whatever it is, and why do you need a chisaro?
And then there are Tosfos answers. When there is some minimal chisaron.
But why would you need a minimal chisaron? That sounds like it's more of a monetary thing than a violation of personal space.
Okay, good. What would you say? Abby, what would you say?
Because Tosfos needs to be a shavu prutah because it's a din zeil, but shavu prutah is a din zeil.
What's that? Tosis is saying, V'yishlomer kigoyin mi'ikra, lehave bokim shove pruta. Oy ma'at yoyser. V'yatosh neskalkalo k'tzas, eina shove pruta. V'yafilu izenden ezechoser, potter. Mikol mokoyim kevon deshavin kolshu, oz machayev bakol. Right? See, that, he's not requiring that it has a shove pruta at the moment of the Maisano, but it had to have had once a Shavu Pruta. Why? Why'd it have to have once a Shavu Pruta? Why'd it have to be Ben Daniel? The Chai what?
Not either.
Why not?
It's not worth it. It's still. No, it's nothing. It's not Shavu Pruta where you get Hana from. It's not worth anything.
But you are getting Hana.
It's not Shavu Pruta, it's not.
But you are getting Hana. You're saving lunch. You're getting hanadas from the Shavu Pruta. In other words, obviously he's being sued for more than Shavu Pruta. So obviously hanadas is more than Shavu Pruta. But he's getting hanadas from an object, which is pachas from Shavu Pruta. No? That's what's bothering Tosfos. Oh, it was once a Shavu Pruta. But the time that I did my mice hanadas, it's pachas from Shavu Pruta. Tosfos, don't get nervous about it. Tosfos is asking a kasha. That b'shah that I get my anah from it, it's a non-object. It's below the radar screen of Allah. Right? It's not even a blip on the screen. So what do you, when you go to Beis Din, so what are you suing me for? Hanah, I saved lunch. I could have saved $5-$10. So what's my counter taina? What am I saying to him? Now, what I got from you, it was less than a Shavu Pruta. But I got another Pruta. So Tosfos is a problem. I have to be Yashiv. I have to say, well, it was once a Shavu Pruta. What requires a Yishuv over here? You know, what's this great taina that I have that Tosfos has to say, but it's Ba'olam, it's not Ovaman Olam. Tosfos says, I'm stuck. Because we're going to be marked in a way that it's inconsistent with Tumah Blua. What's bothering Tosfos? What he's saying is correct. But the fact is, I'm getting Hanov more than a Shavu Pruta.
Yeah, him, it's not a Pruta.
So what?
It's not shy to have any payment. It's not worth it.
Why? Well, what do you mean? I saved lunch. So I'm paying. I got time for it. I get time from a pack of gum. So I got the Hanover pack of gum. No, Hezra Dover. But you're saying it's correct. Tosfos is saying that if I get Hanover from something of yours, which was never, ever, ever a Shavu Pruta, so then I'm not have to pay. It has to once been a Shavu Pruta. No? And then Tosfos says, and it's good we figured this out, because the sugi of Hanover requires that there was some chisaron. If there was no chisaron, then zen then of the chazal potter. There has to be ishusa, the blackening of the walls, right? No, so what's bothering Tosfos then? Why is it? What's Tosfos saying that Baruch Hashem it was Shavu Pruta at some point? No, what do you say? Then
I don't know if this relates, but what's the chi of misa for eating something that's less than a Shavu Pruta?
Less than a kazayas. Shavu Pruta would not be less than a kazayas. The value of the issue would be whether it's a maisa chil or not. The value would not come into the din of nevela or treif. Yeah. No, what'd you say? No, for karet. I could say for karet. The fact is, I'm being nana for more than Shavu Pruta. Why don't you finish up by saying, but my,
the object you stole has to have been Shavu Pruta, or else you're not Chayim and Zeil. The Tosfos is worried because now on Hana, now
I didn't steal an object, I got Hana from an object. Who was that?
Tosfos that knows. Hana from an object is more than Shavu Pruta.
Tosfos that knows under Zeil.
Yeah, so?
So it's the same. So
I got Hana from the Shavu Pruta.
So all didn't apply.
Why are we singing?
It has to be the
object. Was that? Why are we singing what? Because if it's less than Shavu Pruta, then I can't be sued for anything. Basin is being told you don't have to be Moitzi Vomit because it's Chayav Misa. Listen to Shema Pruta, why Basin doesn't get involved in it. Let's Shema Pruta. So that's the Hanoi is more than Shema Pruta. No? No? So what does Taisha say? Taisha says, She'enu ala sheni klum. Ish la sheni klum. Over min oilah. What's the problem? What's the problem? The problem of the Lechayim is the following. He takes me to Beis Din, and I say, what I was nene from was less than a Shema Pruta. Right? So he says, but you got Hano more than a Shema Pruta. So then I'll say, good, but I didn't get it from you. Why you bring me to Beis Din? L'gabe yuz Hashem Pruta. You went to Baal Dover, it didn't belong to you. You had no shaykhus of this when I got a Noah from it. It was already mufker, it was already no Baal. You can't own less than Shabbat Brutha. Chometz. You can't own Chometz and Pesach because there's no value to it. Torah says you can own it to be a Kamasa. Right? But when it drops in value, so Taiz apparently he's saying that the yesod, as we discussed on Tuesday, the yesod of gezel, of paying gezel, comes from heishiv zeishon gozel. That means the yesod of gezel, of compensating gezel, has to be a gozlin. No, there has to be a nigzel. There has to be a teveya. If there's no nigzel, no teveya, it can't be a chiv gezel. So Tosfos says, no. There is an exile because it was Shabbat Pruta. So he's still able to claim that he's the exile because I can still follow the trail back. L'chayra, that's how Tosfos learned Pshat in the difficult halacha of what's the Lashon? Shachri Rusa Deshisa. Gemara says in Bava Kama, Zenen Nevzai Chaser. It's also Reb Chaim's word. Chaim called it the Koyach HaTzviya. So you can either, if you want to see this, you can look at Birch HaShmul Bava Kama Simen Yud Dalin, standing like Ois Beis and Gimel. If you want the easy way out, then there's a Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Uben Chepansky. He wrote a Sefer, Bikubi Reuven. I had the Sefer. And he writes it up in a way that's Birch HaShmul Lamat Chilim. You know, he's so you can... So this strange din of Zen Nen Nevzeli Chos, I move into your house, I squat in your house, and normally people rent it out, you didn't rent it out, it's Yomtiv, the whole story, but I saved money, I'm only chayv to pay. Why? Gemara says, if there's mamish 000 choser, not chayv to pay. But if I blackened the walls a little bit, so you're going to have to bring in somebody. You probably won't do it anyways, because the walls got black anyways. But lu yitzuyer, you'd be upset that the walls will move. So it'll cost you. How much to paint the walls? A few hundred dollars. But I saved. I didn't go to the Laram. So you know how much I saved by being in your house with the horse of Yom Tov. Right? So I have to pay all the hanor that I got. His randovar, according to Reb Chaim, is because Hanoah, according to Tosfos, is part of the Parsha of Gezel. The Machayiv of Gezel is Heishvitz Gesher Gozel. The Machayiv of Gezel is there is a person. In our words, a person was violated. And the Torah says that I can either, sometimes I give back the object, sometimes I pay for the object, and sometimes I pay for the benefit. I didn't steal your house. There's no object that I stole. I was nana from your house. But if there's no chosim bechlal, there's no teveya. There's no, what's he claiming? I didn't take anything from him. It's gezlai. It has to be a teveya. It has to be a heishiv. The moment there is a teveya, a baldover, he can say, I am a baldover. A baldover? All right, now the parish of gezel is to pay back the hana. Here's again, a little bit deeper. In, we'll have to devil men chapir. In the power, we're pointing out the following. We're pointing out that our sugyam will now make a sikkum. that our sugya teaches us that in order to be able to understand the din of kom leimid rab minei and the requirement of v'idna in the case of zor shachal truma or ochel chel shachaveroi, we have to understand how, where is the v'idna, because l'chayra, the chiyuv tashlumin came before the chiyuv misa. Good. Gemara says, it's talking about a very, very, very specific akimta. Tochem lechaver begroine. Alright? Good. And it must be a case of adure bal korche. Adure, what's the lashon? Of adure adirchak. Right? Otherwise, it won't be idna. The mitzvah says, sugya of idna. Wait till next week, we'll talk about it. Right? But according to Rashi Nevi, the sugya is a sugya of, it's not Gezel Tano. Opens up a parasha for us. There is a machayev of compensation that comes from Hano. So, above a kamadik a sugya. But this is a very important makor. You'll see from the Baruch Ber that how often he goes back to learn Hezber Hanah from this sugya. Alright? So this sugya opens up this idea. Good. Mechayim Hanah. Is it a Gora Chidish? No. Parsha in Baba Kama. Zen Lichoser. Yosef Yorach. Lesef Sen Chmeri. Yisrael pointed out. Shame. Rishus Rabbah. Good. That's one shlav in the sugya. Alright? That was Tuesday. Next shlav in the sugya. That we see from this sugya that you have to be able to distinguish between the chiv of Hanah and the chiv of Gezel. Rashi does it for us. Rashi says it's a different chiv tashlumin, still Tuesday. Chiv different tashlumin. Right? Are you paying for your benefit? Are you paying for the object that was lost? Could be different. In this case, it's vastly different. The object that was lost by the time I got to it was Pachin Shabbat Pruta. The benefit was lunch. So I'm going to pay for the benefit. If Hanah was purely identical with Gezel, then it should be same kind of tashlumin, not so. So for Rashi and Neri, on the same page. Next, question is, Nufa, where does this chiyuv of Hanah come from? Where does Rashi have to pay back? It has to be a makor, a parsha. It could be a svar, it could be a svar. That was still Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. It could be a svar. So that was, we pointed out, that Rav Chaim explained, let's go a step deeper, on firm ground. So then we said that we see from our sugya machlekes Rashi in the Ri, number one. Machlekes number one is Hando bal korcha chayv potter. Ri says potter, Rashi says chayv. They must understand Hando differently, right? According to Rashi, it sounds like I don't have to be chaser anything, because when Rashi explains that lechazi labayim, he doesn't say lechazi labayim mitzvahs. Is it a chazir to some bailim? Lo yichazir le bailim. Nothing. According to Rashi, that'd be good enough. And of course, Yaya Bakasha from the sugya in Bava Kama. We'll talk about it. So next machlokes. Worth nothing altogether. According to Rashi, there still is a din of Hanah. And according to Tosfos, there is no din. Alright? Hezber Dover is that if I can become chayiv only b'rotzai, not b'al-korchai, other way around, if I can become chayiv even b'al-korchai, it could not be a part in Parsha of Gezel. I'm not mechuyv to pay back if I didn't do a ma'aseh Gezel. Right? But if it's I'm chayiv to pay back vayis tachayis, then it's not a Parsha of Gezel. Right? If I only pay back if there is some way of identifying who the Baal is, so that's part of the din of Heshev Zegzela, that's the Koyach HaTzviya, that's what's Mechayev, the Tashlum HaYezek, we explained on Tuesday, Gezel. But if the Chiyav HaManah doesn't require that there is a Shavah Pruta from coming from anybody, that means I'm not paying back because of Heshev Zegzela Gezel. There's no permission to pay it back. But the chiv of no per se is being mechayiv, and I trace back where I got the hanor from. So then we explain that according to Tosfos, it's clear from the way he compares it and the lashonis he uses that hanor comes to parsha of Gezel. We suggested that, but you don't see that in Tosfos. So then we said, so what is the mechayiv? So that's where Baruch Beren doesn't mechayim to say that we do find Hanah being a Mechayiv. Priyas Baal Chayiv. Milvak Suvim HaTorah. Hanoah is a machayev. Once Hanoah is a machayev, benefit is a machayev, not the maisa, even shleiva maisa. Then we explain that this machleik is consistent with the machleikis in Bava Kama, the Shach, but the Ktois points out, the Chonim points out, whether Gezel requires a maisa or not. According to Rashi, Gezel requires a maisa. When Mela getting benefit, which is Bal Korchi, Einacha non maisa gedolim yizu. So therefore it can't be part of the parasha of Gezel. According to Tosfos, Gezel doesn't require a maisa. So when Mela getting benefit could be part of the parasha of Gezel. Alright. It's a sugi, it's a shir. Good. Weiter. On to Rav Rashi. Okay?